Damn. So I thought today was Borderlands 3 day, and we're all staring at Tino very hard.
How do you feel?
Because you're
that,
the Borderlands boy.
Time out. Why, to begin with, why would you think it's Borderlands 3 day?
Fuck if I know. You came in here talking about Borderlands and got all excited and started throwing shit around in my house.
Well, first off, you should always be excited for Borderlands.
That's true.
Second off, I've tried to talk about like five different things while we are chaotically like screaming at each other during the previous recording. So
Borderlands is the only thing that's stuck, man.
You know, I disagree with your approach.
Yeah. So what I was going to say was the collector's edition of Borderlands 3 comes with a snap model.
What?
Of the new Sanctuary, which is like a spaceship.
That's cool.
And no. I'm excited because I'm trying not to get my hopes up, mm-hmm. but if it's actually a snap model, that means multiple pieces on a runner that I can then put together.
Something
and
you're familiar
myself.
With.
Oh, yes. Yeah, girl. And hopefully it's not just two pieces where you go, and it's done.
They're doing a model kit.
A very small one.
So you're
because
telling
it's
me
fit in a,
of the ship.
They yeah, know about the ship. They know about this podcast?
Have they been so
I'll
like
die.
Probably like the size of the Star Wars, the small ones.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know how big it's going to be. So the next event that they're going to have that's going to be revealing gameplay and they'll be answering questions and like giving us more info
yeah.
in
mm-hmm.
general is May 1st or 3rd.
That's wild.
Either next Wednesday or Friday.
It is definitely
it's next week,
Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Wednesday.
It's the first.
It's the first. So, yeah.
Interesting to find out who's manufacturing it for them or how they're getting it done.
Yeah, yes, want, like,
exactly.
I wonder if it's like Wave. Like,
it's
going to
be
like,
Wave. If it's Wave, it'll be super, super rare with that collector set, and it'll never get made
There's no
again.
Way. There's no it way
won't.
It's Wave.
And guess who
very...
Snap-tight.
For, just... was it's right there, like Johnny on the spot when GameStop opened so he could get his copy of the Collector's Edition pre-ordered.
Yeah. Bailey.
What?
Maybe. Are you,
yeah. Absolutely. Borderlands, that's a card game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, yes, it is a card game
it's
now.
Our favorite card game.
Oh, shit.
I was trying to be funny, man.
It's
fuck.
Not even work.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, I know
that's
Borderlands.
Dope,
I'm a,
yeah, I'm very excited to see if it's actually
you know,
like
I'm a Fallout person, or was a Fallout person, mainly. You know, in terms of games.
Fallout's good, but they never gave you a model kit. That's
they
mind
did,
blowing.
They have a Pip-Boy.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, and they actually kit. Have like little action figures that you
yeah,
put
I've
together.
Seen that.
There was a cosplay kit. Yeah, yeah. It would make a wearable Pip-Boy. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It came with a.
You get like, a few resin casts.
Put together. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
wild, though.
Garage like, Crit. Yeah.
Model
yeah,
kits are kit. Coming with video games.
Yeah.
That's
I'm,
a change. That's a big change.
Stoked to see what that thing looks like.
Well, I mean, that's like having model kits at GameStop.
Yeah,
and Barnes
yeah.
and Noble.
Mm-hmm.
That's Think it's geek. Insane.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know why that happened?
It's picking back up.
Well, I mean, come on, Captain Obvious in the room. No, but for real, it is because the big thing is they're seeing larger hobby stores and retailers do community build events and build meets and build nights and stuff, and saying, "Hey, if they can mm-hmm. sell it, we can definitely sell it." Because kids can trade in their 5-15 copies of Halo 5 and get high grade because that's how much they're probably worth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure the trade-in value for physical product versus game is atrocious, but I think this is a good segue.
I was about to ask if that was a good segue.
Here's the segue. When I was 13 years old, I bought a 1/100th Death Scythe model kit from a store called Babbage's.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
Babbage's.
Babbage's.
Babbage's. That is going back
Holy
in time.
Cow.
This was a video game store, and they sold Gunpla. Not very many Gunpla, but they sold enough, and it was one of the
first got started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was one of the only Damn. Places you could buy these
Toys
kits in the U.S. You could buy them from Babbage's. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, they would have one at Electronics Boutique. Babbage's
the name. It's the name Babbage's.
Of, yeah, it's the it's, name of one. The last name of one of the inventors of the personal computer. I don't remember.
Oh,
the
really?
First name because I'm an idiot, but Babbage's is named after
it's
a guy.
Yeah. Literally, it's cabbages, but
was
with
this
a
like
B.
A?
No, it's
like
FYE.
A Circuit City or
something? No,
it was
FYE.
It was like
or
FYE,
like an electronics boutique,
kind yeah. of, Suncoast, that
Sam
kind of
Goody.
Thing.
Yeah, kind of like Suncoast.
Sam Goody.
Yeah, so I got my first Gunpla from Sam Goody.
Yeah, I got my first Gunpla at Babbage's.
I got my first real job at Sam Goody.
What? Your first real job?
Yeah, my first real
than
job.
A
full circle.
Dude, that's
you can
fantastic.
Buy Gunpla with that.
Yeah.
I got
with
mine.
A real job, you can buy Gunpla.
I got mine at Hobbytown USA.
You get your first Gunpla or your first job?
My first Gunpla.
Your first Gunpla?
My first job was at a restaurant that I was legally not able to work at due to my age.
Yeah.
I was one of those kids. Graduate high school and then straight into the fucking kitchen. Let's go, boys.
Stay tuned for the bonus episode about
it. Oh, man. But anyways. Joel's first job. And this is how you get depression. Anyways. Welcome to the Cutting Mat Podcast. This is the Scale Mollenkopf podcast that gives me a stroke every time I try to say the name. Brandon, take it over for me, bud.
Welcome to the Cutting Mat Podcast. This is the Scale Model Podcast that gives Joel a stroke every time he tries to say the name.
Thank you.
We're here to talk about the Gunpla community, Gunpla events going on in the local area, and how you can get involved in your local Gunpla meta and meet people who have similar interests. I'm Brandon. I go by Mecha Genre on the internet.
And who do you have in front of you?
In front of me, there is a gentleman called...
Valentino.
I don't believe that for a second.
Okay. I'm sorry. My name is Tino.
There we go. Say it with your chest.
Say it with my chest. Yeah.
Where are you?
My name is Tino.
Oh, God.
Online.
Where am I online? You can find me online at Big V Roman pretty much everywhere.
Nice. And who do you have to your left, kind of?
To my kind of left is this gentleman right here who goes by...
Hi, I'm Bailey. I go by Kamau _ Zeta on most places that you see pictures and shit that are
I've got a lot of questions about that.
Totally not fun, nudes.
Fun story about Bailey's not nudes.
He's a never nude.
He's a never nude. There are dozens of them. Every time I check out like a Gunpla like live stream or a live YouTube account or whatevs, Bailey is always in the chat. Have you noticed that? Bailey is always there.
Every time I go to Tim's chat. Or just Mecca, some, yeah. It could be dude. Some dude in Japan streaming live stream.
Well,
Bailey's
I moderate.
Like, ha, man, Child I'm Mecca. Right there with you.
He lives in like 10 places at once.
It's crazy. Absolutely.
Yeah, I moderate Child of Mecca. You already mentioned that before.
Yeah,
but
shout
I'm
out
also,
Child of Mecca.
I also check out the four horsemen of Mecopolis, they call themselves. And
shout out.
They're doing really good. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to
that'll
Nozaku
be 10
Boy.
Cents.
That'll be 10 cents per episode.
Gundam Taz, the Daft Robo, and Gunpla Geo, and other hosts that are on there sometimes.
And you guys already know who I am. I don't have to introduce myself. But if you're new to the podcast, my name's Joel. Go online as True Gunpla at True Gunpla, TrueGunpla.com. You can find my Pornhub channel at Pornhub.com/TrueGunpla. It is real.
Have you uploaded any since?
No, it's still the Waterside tutorial, but I'm going to be uploading the whole entire channel library. I'm doing a switchover.
Awesome.
That video is real.
Pornhub sent me an email.
What?
And we will talk about that in the next bonus episode. So, what we're talking about here today, boys.
Oh, my God. The cliffhanger.
The cliffhanger.
Do we have our first sponsor?
No. Not from them, I wish.
We
That'd
shall
be so
see.
Great.
It would be pretty good.
I'm very pro supporting the adult industry. Actually, I worked in the adult industry for a couple months. Another cliffhanger bonus episode.
We've all seen those videos.
Oh, right. So,
community.
We are here to talk about community stuff for the scale modeling hobby, because the number one question I get online is how do I start a scale modeling community? And I say scale modeling because there's a lot of people that do wargaming, that do, you know, Tamiya, military, armored, IPMS, traditional. I'll call it IPMS traditional scale modeling.
By IPMS traditional, of course, you probably mean military models,
military, right, planes, yeah. Cars.
Right. The things that you normally think of when you think of a scale model. We as giant robot modelers sometimes have to form our own offshoot communities from these larger scale traditional modeling communities. And we'll talk a bit about that today as well and how you do that should you need to.
So the biggest question that I get usually when you put up a video from Hangar 18 or a Build Meet or Animazement or some stuff like that is how do I do this? How do I do this in my area? I wish I could do this. Oh, I wish this was in my area. And there has been a couple of articles I think Mega Plamo, Gunpla Megas, I forget his username, and I'm really forgetful of the name, so don't take any offense. But on, I think the website's Gunpla101.com, yeah. He did an article on local communities, and I think that's really dope. You guys should check that out for sure. But we're going to give you kind of, this could be two episodes. The first episode is going to be a little bit of a history of our community here, a little bit of online history as well. And the second one's going to be how you can do this yourself. It's going to be pretty much almost a podcast tutorial of tips, advice, personal experiences. We might even, you know, get some side conversation from, you know, manufacturers, hobby store owners, stuff like that. Get their point of view of how, in a sense, how positive these communities are. I met all you guys from the meetups.
Who are you? Right.
Why? Where are we?
Well, so here's the important thing. We can tell you the history of...
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah. You guys met online first, yeah. Which is another really important topic that we're going to go over, because that's the online community is a really important, especially in modern day where maybe model kits aren't as popular as they used to be. Yeah. The online community is almost as important, if not more important, than the physical communities in the game stores. But what we're going to tell you in this podcast is going to be our experience. Obviously, every environment is going to be slightly different. So while you could consider it to be a tutorial, what we'd rather consider it to be is a case study.
Yeah.
One case N equals one where a community took off and we built something out of something else.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Some good stuff there. So if you guys, am I going to take the reins on this one? About Hangar 18?
You
carry
are
North Kakalaki. I hate the fucking word
founders.
Kakalaki.
So go ahead.
All right, boys.
Kakalaki sounds like a disease.
North Kakalaki. That's North Carolina disease, speak there.
That's that North Carolina speak there, bud.
Sir,
North
I'm very Kak, sorry,
baby,
but
I'm a boss.
You've encountered some North Kakalaki in the northern region of your respiratory system. We're going to have to operate to remove
the
entirety of the Kakalaki. It's quite a large Kakalaki. It's the size of a grapefruit.
Mm-hmm. So, long story short, is that I watched Build Fighters and I was sucked into Bandai's corporate marketing campaign. They're brainwashing.
Like a champ.
Like a champ. To this
it
day.
It works.
Yeah, to this day, Build Fighters.
Living proof.
G, or whatever the Gunpla Beginning G. Oh,
Beginning G, yeah.
That's what you're talking about. Build Fighters are my top two Gundam animes hand down. It's fucking wild.
So what you're saying is you're a nerd.
Yeah, pretty much. But I caught the bug. I, you know, went online to watch like Zach Aurelius, Justinius, Strider Prime, you know, R. Robert, you know, all the classics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my first thing was the Google hobby store. Found a hobby town. Went there, got all my first supplies, a cutting mat, all the nine yards, watch all these videos and, you know, stuff like that. And then I found another local store in Cary. And all the reviews were like, there wasn't actually any for the Gunpla or Gundam stuff. I had to message them. They're like, yeah, we have a couple kits. And I mean, literally, there was five kits. There wasn't anything there.
That was right at the beginning.
Yep. And there was a group there called Model Works, and they do primarily sci-fi and, you know, horror movies, you know, that type of scale modeling and
figures. Yeah.
Yeah. And the owner, Brian, was like, hey, this group meets once a month every Wednesday and they have showcases and a couple guys build Gundam. You should talk to them. And so we did. I talked to Luke. Luke is one of the founders of our group, and pretty much we're like, hey, this is cool. We don't want this to stop going. To this day, they still do meets every Wednesday, once a month. And so what we did was pretty much approach the owner saying, hey, we love what they're doing. I want to do it with Gundams. Well, let's do it on a different day so it doesn't impede. So those members, you know, in that group can come out to this, and we can start having almost like a little community. And if you go on my Facebook, there's a picture two years ago, I think, where it's the first group shot of the first meet of like six or seven of us at Hangar 18. We all, besides, I think, Tino, you were there? I don't think you were there yet. I don't know.
You all look so small. If you look at that picture, he's got like a propeller hat on. his pants like go up to his...
Unrecognizable.
Yeah, yeah. He's just... He's so adorable.
But in a sense, it was seven strangers that literally we had no idea who each other were.
But the only thing they had in common was that they loved building these giant plastic model kits. Yeah.
And the thing for any retailers, hobby store owners out there that are listening, if anyone approaches you with this, do it. Because it took their five kit inventory to like a rotating stock of, I would say, God, probably 100
plus
kits. Yeah, there's not enough space at this point.
We just cleared out more to make room for like some Kodo kits.
Yeah.
So you got Kodo now, still no room.
Really, yeah, there's still new. Well, that's the thing, though. It's so awesome is that we have these meets every week. It's bringing business to this local business that, you know, again, I don't want to like say, hey, like if you don't do this, you're not going to do well. But for the most part, they weren't probably selling selling that many kits. Yeah, it's not a guarantee. It definitely helped. It boosted their business 200-300%, you know, in terms of that volume of kits. Because at the core of it, they're actually like an RC drone hobby store, mainly. Like, and they do wargaming as well. 60%
of their business, I would say, yeah, even more.
we don't know the financials exactly. But for the most part, I would say, you know, just from the sheer volume of what's in that store, I would say the Gundam and Japanese scale modeling kits is insane right now. Because it's not just Gundam. There's Star Wars, the Dakota kits, like you're saying, Hasegawa, Machine Krieger, all this stuff.
And now resin conversion. And
Parts
and things like that, too. Which and that point you have established something that, that is, you know, that is can be supported, because if you're doing, if you're bringing in that kind of specialty, you know, products, then you have a base of people that are looking for that kind of stuff.
You have a core group, and then you have a specialized an inner core group that has enough support to where you can, because that's a big thing, is taking on these smaller paint companies, like you know, I wouldn't say smaller, but they're not Tamiya, they're not Mr. Color companies like Secret Weapon and Turbo Dork. You bring these companies on, I mean, you know, you have to buy that product and you have to sell it to get that return. And that's something to where, you know, with our local, you know, with SIMP, Simp models, the third party, the owner of that approached me saying, hey, you know, I've seen what you've done with the community, and you guys look like you'd be, you know, a good candidate for this. And I think, what, not even the first couple of days of having this product, most of those are gone.
Oh, yeah, they're gone.
I think they're all gone, actually.
Extremely popular.
Yeah.
But that was something that I was aware of thanks to the internet community as well. So the information about these kits gets around. But resin kits in particular, this is an interesting case study, because they're more difficult and a higher skill level than the plastic snap kits.
Yeah.
They take a little bit more effort to make them look good. Mm-hmm. But a community can really build people's skills up to the point where they can consume something of that caliber.
Sharing the knowledge, sharing the techniques and approaches to working with that kind of material, you know, knowing what to do with it. That's all a part of having a community and being able to interact.
That's a big thing I've seen. You brought up the online community part of things. We have Instagram, we have Discord's a big online community, and then of course like Facebook. The biggest thing I always see online is, you know, people want to see communities building better builders. They want to see it producing products and not just having, you know, in a sense being a dick measuring contest. And I think that's very true, especially with the local communities, because we have some people that I remember literally their first day of building model kits. The first they come in like eagle, like I have no idea what this is. This I remember the anime, this looks dope, and they're asking all these questions, and now they came with us to IPMS and entered in the contest. It's wild. It's like I have like 500 children in a sense.
It's like
I get to see them all grow up. And,
like I didn't get the Karate Kid until now, but now like I understand.
I understand it.
Like who is Mr. Miyagi? Mr. Miyagi is all of us.
We are all Mr. Miyagi.
I understand that now. And that's the thing.
Inside,
like
on the outside.
I like winning contests, but honestly, I don't care. Like if somebody else in our club wins a contest, that's a team win.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Make sure that everybody, you know, builds up at the same time.
I remember
you teach communities to other people, you know,
IPMS, man. As the first IPMS that we went to, I got third and you cleaned house, and we came back, everyone was like, fuck
yeah,
this is so dope.
Me
and they're in the trophies, they're in the store right now, you can go see them.
Yep, that they are. I still have that plaque from the best figure, you know. That's like, it was just super fun to go there, but it was just me and Joel. This year, however, we expect to have dozens of people. Man. I would say at least
UConn coming up.
Tons of, I mean, you know, that's,
I'm going to plug a little video real quick. By the time this is up, the IPMS ODO, Richmond, Virginia video is up. So you guys can see all the model kits that were there. There's 93 entries, which I asked Chaz, the event organizer, and he says, you know, he's like, I don't know if he broke any records, but for that local one, we definitely broke the record. And from what I've seen online for reportings of IPMS, it's usually 5 to 10. So like having close to 100 entries is insane. And
5 to 10 was our experience.
In the Gunpla category.
Yeah, just the Gunpla category, too.
But that's the power of the community. That wouldn't have been possible if we weren't able to amplify our message through this community. And even if you don't have a community that you've built yourself, it doesn't matter. If you've got access to a community that has a lot of people that have the same hobbies and interests that you have, you can use that community as a platform to assemble these kind of events.
Yeah. I think the big thing, too, is you see it online more than you do with the IRL, you know, communities.
But, you know, we had a huge showing from the IRL community as well.
Yeah.
It's different for every community. That's why this is kind of a case study.
There's the mentality, like I was saying before, you see it more online than you do in real life, is that people want their community to be the best community over other communities. And you get that weird competitive. Being competitive as a community is not a bad thing. Right,
you can be competitive when it, you know, if there's a sense of camaraderie and there's a sense it shouldn't be community against community. It should be a recognition of this is one large community of Gunpla builders and scale modeling enthusiasts. And in there, you can have friendly competition.
Exactly,
you can have, like, you know, at some point we might even have one that's coming from, you know, here to, you know, the guys that we've met in Virginia, let's say, and things like that. And that would be great. But not this idea of, you know, who's got a bigger community, who's got more skilled builders in it. That stuff is irrelevant.
Well, that actually brings us into another point. Like, what kinds of traits does a healthy community have? And how do you know when your community is starting to have problems?
Fade away almost, yeah.
You know, to use the Karate Kid reference, don't sweep the leg. Don't sweep the leg. You know, that's not a fun way to win. You know, you should win fairly, right?
Exactly.
So we're dealing with Karate Kid 1, right?
I was going to say, we're not dealing with the weird.
So are we waiting till the next episode to move on to, what was it, Karate Kid 2? The next Karate Kid, maybe?
Or the Cobra Kai series that's going on right now. But, you know, exactly, you know, sweeping the leg is something we shouldn't be doing, because at the end of the day, you know, a good example is, I mean, it's not community, but Justin and Gio online, they're having a build off.
Yeah, the build offs,
the Musha one.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, at the end of the day, it's friendly. They're mm-hmm. helping each other become better builders. Yeah. And you have to treat that with that mentality of that it's not me against you. I'm gonna show everyone that I'm the best. There's competitions, if you want to have that mentality, that you can go enter where you're on level playing grounds with everyone else in your community.
I mean, those that since you brought that up, those are really good, like, microcosms, because like you mentioned with Gunpla Geo and Justin, another one that I know is like Phil and Bro Builder, you know, they did they did the Landman Roadie one before, and I found out recently they've been friends for years, you know, and so that one wasn't even a matter of being a competition. That was just like one friend, you know, pushing the other to see what each other can develop.
Yeah,
and that
exactly.
that small example should be, like, extended out to communities, you know, in the sense that we have a community here. We have guys, you know, like I said, in Virginia, maybe South Carolina or whatever, and, you know, go across that way. And let's have, like, you know, some kind of theme and see what these two communities develop from that. You know, that would be something more conducive to community maintaining than this idea of, oh, you know, who's has the most people, you know, or something like that. I can't even fathom the absurdity.
Well, like
you're
talking about,
that.
Communication. We're talking about, like, intra community. Like, how do you make a community from scratch and make it successful?
Yeah,
I remember the time that I challenged Tino and pushed him out of his comfort zone and suggested that he paint an entire kit.
Yeah, wasn't that your Borderlands?
Yes, that was my Borderlands.
And you did that for also our local contest in the Cannon Fodder.
It was Cannon Fodder. Zaku.
But, like, that's the kind of thing that when you have a community, you move a lot. You're going to be moving a lot faster in this regard, because you've got people that are supporting you.
Right, right, right.
And, exactly. You know, they'll tell you how to do things you're not sure about. You don't have to make quite as many mistakes. You still make mistakes, of course, because that's part of the fun. But the fewer mistakes you can make, the more progress you can make in the same amount of time.
Right. And it is just such a huge wellspring of knowledge from everybody that's around you in the community. Like, it. And for someone like me, I'm more of a person that learns with somebody, like, in my ear, like, telling me, like,
you should have somebody check that out.
I hear voices in my head.
Like they gotta be next to me and, like, pointing at things and telling me what I'm doing, or, like,
we were suggesting things out back behind Hangar 18. I was, like, shouting at Tino, and people were driving by, and they were like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, every time I swept the can wrong across the piece, I had to do, like, 20 push-ups. It was... It was a mess, but it worked. It worked.
Like, I mean, Brandon's spittle was getting on the model. You know,
that's weathering, man.
That's just that's weathering. But I mean, that in a sense, I would say made you a better builder, pushed you to that point to where like, okay, back to what episode two, doing it badly, you did the thing.
TM.
You might have, yeah, TM, exact trademark. But you learned how to do that thing, you know, badly.
When with this Hangar 18 IRL community, I've responded to a number of messages on the Facebook group from people who are new to the hobby and want to come to a real life community because they want to meet people who have similar interests as they have, but they are intimidated by the idea of meeting up with people who are experienced and have done this for a long time.
Yeah.
How do you make a community welcoming to those people? I had a lot of trouble with it.
That's a good question.
I tried my best to be welcoming. And, you know, I try to assure them, you know, hey, come on in. We're super nice.
Yeah, there's only so much that you can tell somebody online.
Right, and I gave my best chippy smile, like, but it was online.
The online is
curious. I try to give a smile.
I know personally when I'm actually at Hangar 18, you know, during the week, let's say, and I see people interested in the models, I make sure every time I see them, I mention, we happen to have a meet every Sunday to build these, you know, and
that,
on Sundays, if there are people coming in, that's a little bit different because they can see the community there. And I think that gets at the idea of it being intimidating.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, we met some new people on Sunday even that were really interested in the community.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah. But see, that was an interesting situation because they were super interested in joining anyway.
Yeah.
But some people don't have that personality.
Quite often, they'll be there. They'll be looking at the kits we're building, and there might not be engaging us or whatnot. I try to gauge each person as they come in and see if they're curious. And at that point, I'm going to do my usual spiel about, say, hey, we're here every Sunday. You know, if you're interested in joining and building, you know.
But here's something that I find is very useful in those situations. If you have somebody who is intimidated by joining a group that's already well established and has a lot of experience doing a hobby that they want to learn to do, I try to tell them, hey, just a heads up, like, I was really new at this at one point too, and a group like this really helped me out.
That's right.
And you could even say, hey, we've got tons of new people as well. You will not be the least experienced person in the group, and even if you are, we're going to be like, our whole goal is to help you out.
Yeah. I think that it's plays into your idea of you know, the risk of a community becoming toxic is that we should maintain this, you know, welcoming and kind of inclusive approach. You know, when we're discussing things, it should be with the intention of having you know, community members, both new and old community members, be a part of the discussion.
The biggest thing when we first started out Hangar 18, and like you were saying, is having people come in and they were, you know, during the week browsing, looking at a kit, they're really interested in it. That's where the core group came from, is those people that kind of saw a glimpse on the inside and wanted to participate.
Yeah.
And this is where real life and online comes together. Like anything, you have to, you know, market it. You have to make it to where it looks, for someone looking on the outside, inapproachable. And that's, again, where we run into problems online sometimes, is that people see drama and other bullshit online and they're like, I don't know if I want to participate in that.
Yeah.
And the big thing too is, I mean, you wouldn't think it, but I have a really bad social anxiety problem. I have really bad anxiety, diagnosed, thank God. But and it takes stuff for that. But not everyone has that ability or even knows that they have it. They may have not been in a group. We have a lot of younger people in our group that kind of, I mean, you know, end of the day, we're all nerds when it comes down to it. So having some difficulties with approaching people and approaching big groups and communities and this, that, and the other thing, it's really hard to, you know, to get that going. So, you know, the biggest thing that I can recommend is, you know, for someone listening that's listening because they want to start their own group, is to make it approachable.
Yeah.
Make it for everyone. Make it, but also advertise it. Put yourself out there and say, hey, we're doing a thing. You can come do it no matter what your skill set is, what, you know, what you want to do. You can come do it here. And that's the big thing.
I mean, gosh, man, you made those shirts. We've got those stickers.
Right.
We try to pat that stuff all over the place.
Because then we put the Hangar 18 shirt on Holy Mountain. At first, it was like a members only exclusive thing. And then we changed it from there. And it's something to where there's people, literally, I've seen the orders that, when we put it up, maybe two or three people bought them that actually lived in North Carolina that went to the store. Everyone else, they're like, I see what you guys do, and I wish I had this, so like, I can be a part of that now. Yeah. I can wear this shirt. I can tell people about it, and it's fucking awesome. It's amazing. So,
And I have some advice for people who want to join a group but have some anxiety about doing that as well. This is something that really helped me out when I was starting to join these IRL groups, not the online groups. If you're anxious about joining a group, just remember that when you get there, everyone there is going to be probably too worried about themselves to think about what you're doing.
That's true.
That's a big thing.
Don't worry that everybody is looking at you, because they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
they're looking at you to say hi.
Right.
Yeah. And come on, sit down, pull up a chair.
Mm-hmm. If you're going to a group like ours, we want you to feel welcome. Mm-hmm. We want to work on whatever we're working on. And we just want to help you. You know, it's not a judgment zone. It's a judgment-free zone. Whatever you want to do, that's how you do the hobby. That's the whole point of the hobby, right? Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be fun for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's actually the big thing, too, is you know, if anyone gets a chance to come to Cary, North Carolina, and then come to one of our meets, you'll see that at the start of it, we're all sitting down. And by the end of it, we're all standing up, because we want to make sure that the new people have seats and we can talk to them. We can, you know, help them with whatever they need help with. And I think that when you see footage or photos of online communities, you always see that. You always see the one or two people that are always just standing, you know, talking shop, talking with new people. That's a good sign of a healthy environment to go into.
I know things have gone well during a meet when I lose my voice at the end.
Yep.
Because it means that I've been explaining things to people the entire time. And it's just been a really good time for everyone. Like, people usually ask me questions about solvents because I know some stuff about, like, how solvents work. But I'll answer the same question a dozen times. I don't care. As long as I'm not answering it for the same person.
Yeah,
a dozen times.
Yeah,
well,
you had to do that with me at first. You're like, okay, Joel, listen.
That's all very important information, and I will absolutely distribute that information as much as I can.
I have zero issue with talking about nub removal. You know, sanding, seam removal, no problem. I'll share that information nonstop, because that's when people are getting started. That's when you really want to, you know, have that discussion and be willing to share that information.
Another big thing, I mean, to kind of go back to the online community with the Gunfoot Builders Association and the other Discords, I don't want you guys to think that we're going to, you know, plug GBA nonstop.
GBA, whoa!
You know, there's other great communities.
What's a GBA?
What? Game Boy Advance.
Game Boy Advance.
I mean, there's other great communities like the you know, Gundam Mosh Pit, you know, GBA, R Gunpla, and then even content creators that have their own Discords, like
Model
the Buttress, Model Making Guru, Bad Gunpla. They have their own communities, but in every Discord, every forum that you see, there's always a select few that are like the helpers or the moderators or whatever, and they will answer the same question no matter how many times it's asked from different people. We have it. We have the Anaheim engineers.
No problem with it, though.
And I'm proud to be an Anaheim engineer, and I'm proud to have answered the same question 10 times. I don't even care, because it's 10 different people. I've spread that information across a larger group of people, and I didn't have that when I started 14 years ago.
Yeah, same. I was just out there.
I'll just figure that shit out myself. Right.
And I have no problem sharing that.
And see, that's the thing, is you guys had that, or you didn't have that. You didn't have the resource at first.
And look how we turned out. Terrible.
No, you guys turned out great. But the thing is, I started and I had that resource. And I saw how
you created
powerful
it
was.
Hangar 18, certainly, though.
How long have you been building Gunpla, Joel?
3 years.
I've been building it for 14 years.
I've been about 18.
And
we're mostly
off.
Damn.
Look how long
not
it takes
for 10,
to
but.
Do it. It takes so much longer to do it yourself than to get help.
Yeah,
so
we're
do
like.
Not feel, do not feel afraid.
We're
to
like.
That's
expert.
Actually
we're
a
like
really.
Mushrooms.
Holy shit. I'm sorry. This is like kind of like an awakening moment now that I just realized that. Not even being
mushrooms
funny.
Mushrooms take a while.
Yeah.
Mushrooms
they
take a little
do.
While.
Mushrooms
but.
Take a well, yeah.
In the darkness. Well, the darkness was the main thing I was talking about.
But I mean, no, that's a very good point, because I would say me and Tino are pretty new builders in terms of this hobby.
You guys are fantastic. Compared to where we were when we had been doing this for as long as you guys were, you are way more advanced than I was, I know. I mean, Bailey is like a savant over here, so
I
have no clue.
I was terrible at first, too.
I assume that Bailey like just was like, oh yeah, I know how appreciating works.
Nonsense.
I can just do it for, for serious, check out his kits. They're fantastic.
But I mean, that's I I'm sorry. I'm still like, I'm still freaking out over just like kind of realizing that right now is that you guys seriously didn't. I mean, you guys had communities. There's the Gundam forums. There was YouTube and stuff like that.
Not so much back
but
then.
But it wasn't so much as someone not, it was not holding your hand.
You know, we
but,
ran into that issue of online only. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
We exactly. Child of Mecha was there, but it wasn't the community yeah. that it
he wasn't
was.
Physically
right.
there.
He put his builds online, and of course we could drool over them, but he wasn't there. Like, we never saw his face, right?
Yeah,
we have a different
kind of mode that's functioning right now with live yeah. stream and whatnot. Exactly. And, you know, he's really leading a charge in that area. Well,
even with Instagram, I've seen like old school Gunpla and George, you know, they and even with B.
We have content. Like we
you
have,
can message Phil.
We didn't, yeah.
Phil builds stuff. Yeah. You can message him and mm-hmm. be like, hey, man, I'm having this problem with this. And mm-hmm. he'll be like, hey, let's do a live stream and talk yep. about it real fast. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. And here's a problem that I have. I'm not so plugged into the community. I don't know if you guys noticed. I haven't updated my website in quite a while. But that's a
MechaGenre.com.
MechaGenre.com. It's super old.
So many plugs
but,
today.
But
right?
the problem that I have is like I am not good at engaging with a community. So thank you very much for everyone who has joined my Instagram, because this is my first ever Instagram. I don't know how this stuff works. Yeah. I did my first Instagram story like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago.
It was amazing.
It was
there
yeah.
were so many like
there
were
little, I
didn't
pictures
know how
that and stuff
works. Beautiful.
But this is the thing. It is hard to get started, but it's a very useful resource to those of you who are like me and think that this is not something that like, if you think it won't be fun, it's actually very fun.
Yeah.
It's a super great thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think also, too, is that we really showed the power of both in-person communities and online. Because the thing is, as much as Hangar 18 does in person, if I didn't have the online resources I had with the Instagram community and, mm-hmm. and Nick and Matcha Models and even communicating with Chaz, we wouldn't have the 93 entries that we had.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very big movement of people online and very big people movement of people in person. I mean, even up in Northern VA, mm-hmm. I can't remember the
Nova.
Name. Nova.
Nova, yeah, Fairfax.
Justinius and Child Omega went out there. Yeah. That was their first
IPMS.
And
a lot of Gundam Mosh Pit guys.
Yeah.
But how cool is that? These are people who would not normally have done IPMS. They would, I mean, they've entered GBWC
yeah.
every year. Yeah. They do very well in GBWC. IPMS is a totally different judging criteria.
An yep. actual judging criteria.
Yeah, well, look, criteria. Let's not get into
that's
that.
That's a different episode.
Wow. I can't believe you just said that. I completely agree with you.
But I mean, hey, Tim got first.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
Tim
fantastic.
Did really well.
That's,
and
that's legit.
And I love his story about, I forget the name of the modeler, but I think he did the ammo.
Oh, yeah, it's the black and white book. I know that for sure. It's I think it's Jose Luis Lopez.
He was talking about how he was freaking out about his kit.
Yeah,
and that's one of those things where we're not gonna interact with these two worlds unless we start doing IPMS, mm-hmm. the bigger community stuff, interacting as a whole.
But there's the crossover. When Bailey and I were younger, we had websites that showed these people's builds. Mm-hmm. We would never meet them.
Yeah.
Like, they were out of reach. Like, when the Max Technique came out, I'm like, wow, Max Watanabe's fantastic. Like, how do I learn how to do this? Now it's like, I have watched Child of Mecha do a stream on YouTube that's fantastic. Like, I've seen him build things.
Yeah.
There's so much value in that. And if you can meet somebody at a contest and ask them a question about how they built a kit, that's even more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
People have asked me, like, hey, how do you do your decals? And I give them my entire, like, five-step decal process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a fantastic conversation. I love that. Like, I'll talk about that stuff all day.
Yeah.
And I know that Bailey will, too.
I will.
But, I mean, so, yeah, going back to it, I think if it's with the community stuff overall, don't be intimidated to join a community, whether it's online, whether it's in person. And then to those that run online and in-person communities, make sure it's welcoming. I mean, you don't have to sit there and, you know, bribe people to join your community. But at the same time, make sure that, you know, someone that's coming in that's never heard of the hobby is like, okay, cool, I want to do this. I want to come up to the meets. Because, you know, going back to the social anxiety thing, talking to people in real life in a group setting where there's like 10 people building like
that
model
in and
kits
of itself can be intimidating. Yeah,
I mean, like I was talking about Model Works, when we came in and I saw everyone building, I was really intimidated.
Oh, that's
because
absolutely
these are
intimidating.
Insanely good builders.
Yeah, that
I mean, some of these people,
particular.
As it turns out, the Model Works group has professional sculptors, casters,
yeah.
and painters
yeah.
as part of this group. Mm-hmm. If you walk into a room made up of professional sculptors, casters, and painters, and you build something yourself as a newbie, how intimidating must that be?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I also, coming from the music side of things, I also recognize, like, if I'm going to talk to anyone, it's going to be these guys. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're doing the Mecha and Monster event.
Yeah,
we're combining two worlds to mm-hmm. say, let's do this together. Because, again, if someone new can come in, you know, see, like, I can do that. That's insane.
So let's put an interesting spin on that kind of idea, because Gunpla is a unique genre.
For sure.
Because it and you know, the Bandai kits or whatever, they are set up so that you can build them pretty simply, you know, follow the instructions, they're snap fit, whatnot. What we have is, particularly with this community, is we have a kind of extension of that. You can get started and build, and we have a lot of snap builders. We have a lot of people that just snap a kit and put it together. But we also have kind of a branching out and an extension of techniques coming from these sculptors, these casters and whatnot into what we build in Gunpla, and kind of adding, you know, scratch building and, you know, doing weathering techniques and things like that. But at the base of it, we still have that easy to approach kit that we can introduce people to. And, you know, that's one of the things that we have coming up with Mecha and Monsters.
That's another thing, too, is that on their side of things, there's not an easy way to get into casting,
yeah,
or, you know,
exactly.
something
that's
like
my
that,
point.
Like you're saying.
I disagree, actually.
Brent's like, well,
I
listen
have
to this.
A program. Don't tell me you can get into casting by breaking a limb or something.
Oh, dear God. Not that kind of
you'll
casting.
End up with a cast.
Medical casting.
That was
easy.
Stupid.
I taught myself. I kind of taught myself how to cast when I was in, like, middle school. Like, it's sort of
yeah.
a cool thing.
It is fun, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, my
Lego blocks.
My dad helped yeah. a lot too. That mm-hmm. was super. Yeah, but it's super fun. Like mm-hmm. it's, you know, casting is a great side hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all these techniques kind of offshoot from the primary goal, which is to make a cool looking robot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. everyone can enjoy, whether you're just building it out of the box or you're mm-hmm. doing resin conversion kits to enter an IPMS, you can enjoy it.
All are welcome.
All are mm-hmm. welcome. It's enjoying the hobby, like we repeat every single episode, because I really try to drill it in people's head, because at the end of the day, you know, myself, I was to blame. I get so worked up about all the other stuff that's around the hobby. You don't really realize the thing you're doing is just yep. a hobby.
I've totally been there, you know.
You know, it's crazy. But I think, you know, the main thing is, hey, if you got an online community, you got an in-person community, make it a welcome spot. Nothing, no one wants to see, you know, weird competitions and rivalries and you know, all that stuff in there. They want to see everyone working hard to make each other a better person and a better builder.
It's mm-hmm. meant to be fun and relaxing. Wait, and exactly. also, like, skill but, building.
Yeah. Is it? Are you
well,
sure?
Okay.
Is that right?
The relaxing part is a little bit
well, I mean, and
have you ever dropped a part in carpet?
Oh, no. No, don't talk about that. Oh, I'm having flashbacks.
I could give you different
or scribe the piece and the line is a half millimeter off of where you wanted it to be.
But I'm like,
that's good stress though. The end of that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
good stress. Yeah. But I mean, what I'm saying, like,
that's fuck me. That night's over. I'm going to bed.
Going to bed, boys.
You set the box on fire and then you walk away from your workbench.
And then go to your local hobby shop and pick up another kid.
Yeah, hey, I'm sorry, my other one.
Local business.
Yeah. I had an incident with my last kid. It
got a
fire. It was a small fire. It's fine. This
but I mean, the better your skills get, it's going to be a little more stressful trying to get something done. But like at the end of it, don't
you
feel
have
better?
Something?
Oh yeah, so
you have something
better.
You're
yeah,
proud
exactly.
of, yeah. and yeah,
and you built those skills,
yeah, exactly.
using the resources around you via
the
your
people.
Community,
yeah, mm-hmm.
the people that at one point knew more than you did and shared their knowledge,
yeah.
and then.
Right. You know, the best thing is, I mean, you guys may have felt this, I mean, somewhat recently, is that when, you know, going back to music stuff,
mm-hmm.
when I learned something new and I did it, Mm-hmm. I didn't have anyone else to show and be like, I did the thing because no one was teaching me. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, we do these workshops. We do like the beginning workshop on weathering, you know, painting and stuff like that. And Tim does a lot of workshops. Mm-hmm. He's actually doing one up Galaxy City?
Galactic Toys. Grand Rapids.
He gets to see a room full of people come in and be like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. And then they learn something. They're like, when it clicks, they're like, I did it. That's really rewarding to have that. I mean, I enjoy that when we do our workshops.
Yeah. That's
it's one of those things where, you know, when you look at it, yeah, everyone starts as new, but you can get to that point where you get to teach new people mm-hmm. where you were a couple of years ago mm-hmm. and see that light in their eye of go like, oh shit, this is fucking awesome. Yep. And that's what the most rewarding thing is about running communities and stuff. Yeah, paying it forward. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And just doing it badly. Mm-hmm.
Do it badly.
Damn.
Trademark registered.
I'll see you in court
patent
if you use
pending.
It.
Right.
Five international guys, protected patents. So.
There might be. No guarantees, but there might be some t-shirts incoming. We'll have to see.
Oh, shit.
I have some ideas for that.
Spoiler.
It's got to put it all on the. Because I was thinking, oh, you could have.
It's got to be like
on
off
one
center.
Side and then
just badly off center.
Yeah. But then,
like off center.
But then Nike fake would just
Nike.
Be right
we'll,
on you.
We'll run a screen printing class and just have all the students just print the shirts
in,
for
in
us.
Court, they're going to be like, hey, like, what were you thinking when you put do it on the front of this shirt? And I'll be
he's
like,
on
I was
the
just
back.
Trying to do it badly. Like, I didn't know how to do I was doing copyright really badly.
Oh, man. So, episode 2 is going to be more in depth of how to do the community. How to do a community
two,
badly.
It'll be more like
how
an episode 4, but it'll be like part 2, episode 3, which will make it episode 4. Actually, this could be part 3,
episode
2. Episode
4, part 2.
Episode 4,
this.
Part 3?
Episode
oh,
4,
man.
Part 2.
You guys are
well,
doing some
kind of
weird decimal fraction
no,
math.
No, what quarter. I'm saying is, well, this is 3 1/4 right now, but what I'm saying is by the time this is done, that'll be 4. And then if we do, no, wait, hang on. No, this is episode 3.
So right now
we're gonna find that out by the next
when
episode.
We submit these as a little behind the scenes, there's a physical person on iTunes that has to listen to the whole entire pod. Right now
that.
They're just like, oh my fucking god, pick a number.
They don't have robots for that yet, do they?
No. Wait. That's the thing is I haven't looked too much into it. I could be totally wrong, but they have to listen.
Yeah,
so it has
I
to
believe
be verified
that.
By a
it's
human
iTunes,
being.
Man.
Are you telling me that we've reached the point where, like, in the Matrix, the robots, like,
they're
put
getting
the thing in the person's brain?
I would hope
they
that
have
we
to
bring
listen
some
to the,
kind of joy to
this
them.
Is when they pull
right.
listen. This is when they pull the plug right out of the four of our heads.
Hey,
right.
podcaster
let's
listener,
get rid of these guys.
I personally apologize for Joel.
What did I do?
The rest of us had no control. We didn't know what he was going to say. We couldn't do anything.
Oh, man.
I'm literally strapped to this chair. I can't do anything.
Well, Tino wants to be strapped to this chair. It's
you
fine.
Were buckling the straps yourself.
We were trying
here,
to
huh?
help.
Hey.
Well,
don't
we were trying to help Joel,
secret.
But the cat jumped on him and he had a stroke. So
I don't remember anything about this. This was all a duck blur.
Regardless, there's a second part of this coming out where we're going to give you guys a little bit of insight of how to kind of do this yourself, how to do it badly. Because, hey, I did Hangar 18 and GBA kind of badly at the start, and then we evolved and grew from
it's
there.
It's great.
So, normally, the first 2 or 3 episodes, we didn't have any sponsors. We do now.
What?
Dun, dun, dun.
Wait, are you telling me that the NRA finally got back to us?
No.
No, they did not.
No tread on Haro.
Yeah. But no, I want to thank USA Gundam Store. USAGundamStore.com.
That's right.
Sponsor. That's fantastic. Yeah. I love that place.
Honestly, so I do get a lot of kits from Hangar 18.
That's good stuff.
But when I get them online, it's USA Gundam Store.
That's
dude,
right.
Let me
me
tell
too.
You a story. USA Gundam Store, man. I bought my first chisels
those
from there.
Those are the two places
great
right there.
Place.
Yeah.
Hangar 18 is local. You know, we support them. If I'm going online, it's USA Gundam Store.
Well, real quick, because this is going to be part of the Fallen episode, I want to talk about Adam real quick. And I want to have
Adam's
on
the
an
man.
Episode.
He's the USA Gundam
Adam's
Store
great.
Guy, right?
Yeah.
I sent him an email
he
responded.
Owns it.
Nobody responds to my emails.
That's, well, that's
Adam
the
replied to
you
my
know
email.
How many people,
Adam made
you
a
know
mistake.
How many people,
someone replied to my email.
Adam made a mistake.
You know how many people I've seen like surprised when he does that?
No, he does it on Facebook, too. There'll be someone posts like, oh, my box came damaged.
That's how you own
which,
a shop.
Which, by the way,
yeah, that's great.
As someone that works for a company that's mainly online business, it's USPS's fault.
No, for real. Yeah,
I have sent test press records that are vault sealed and somehow it comes broken and half and pissed on for no reason.
Pretty bad.
Anyways. Jeez,
because they drive over them, I think.
To talk about Adam real quick, a real quick experience with the GBA and myself and you know, everyone that he works with is that Adam was actually under I want to say undercover, but he joined the GBA Discord to see what it was about. He was involved for months in the Discord. No one knew who he was. We just thought it's online rando. Cool. He was involved. He was talking about, you know, kits coming out. He's getting engaged with the community. And then I was like, hey, man, you know, I started talking to him. I was like, you should join the Discord. He's like, I've been here for like 4 months. I'm like, wait, what's your name? And then, you know, sure as shit, he changed his name and everyone lost their mind because they're like, dude, this,
then he
it's
started
you.
Getting the DMs.
Yeah,
hey,
then you
where's
get the
Where's my order?
Where's my order?
Oh, man.
Like but, I said, it's the shipping, man.
But that's why I choose to work with him. Yeah. And that's why
he
choose to work with
about
us.
About the community. Dude, it is.
He's
it
a
is
community
clear.
Man at the end of the day, man. It really is. I mean, he's very involved. He wants to help out. It's not just, you know, here's a promo code, go promote for my company. Yeah. You know, end of the day, he's really making sure that, you know, this hobby is here to stay and it's healthy and it's thriving because, you know, it's also his business.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things you always hear people online saying, you know, don't turn your hobby into your work. Well, yeah, there's a difference
between
the
oversimplification effect.
Well, yeah, there's also a difference between having a passion that's a hobby and just having a hobby. Mm-hmm. For people, I would say, like, for me and Adam, our hobby is also our passion, so we're able to turn it into a business and have fun while doing the thing that we love doing to do it as work. So yeah, I just want to thank Adam and thank everyone that works there at USA. He's got a wonderful staff there at USA Gundam Store. And if you're ever in Florida, hit him up. You might be able to do a little warehouse. I think he's actually, to go back to community stuff, I think he's working on turning the warehouse maybe into like
nice.
A build meet spot
what?
Or something
that'd
like
be
that.
Great. Yeah, because
if he
like
hasn't, Adam, get on this because that'd be fucking
yes,
awesome.
Please. And also,
I didn't know that they were in Florida.
Yeah, they're in Florida.
Ormond Beach, Florida.
Yeah, that's Ormond Beach.
And Adam, on behalf of MechaGenre, you're one of the only corporate entities that MechaGenre has officially communicated with, and so thank you very much for the. for the cannon fodder prize, and also I personally and officially apologize for any interactions which we may have had, which I'm not good at human interaction, but Adam, you're fantastic. Seriously, like, thanks for doing what you do, and please keep on doing it.
Keeping it
really,
doing, keep
really
doing it, yeah.
MechaGenre and I, who are the same person, really appreciate it.
And then, of course, I mean, this goes without saying, the other one is Hangar 18 Hobbies in Cary, North Carolina. And I've had people, you know, come out of state just to come by to a meet. And I think that's fucking awesome.
Here's something I've never seen before. Hangar 18 Hobbies has Kotobukiya. They have Simp Resin kits.
Yes.
These are two things which I have never seen in any other store.
Yeah, I just picked up a Cutlass.
Dude.
At the same time.
The Cutlass is my favorite base lard.
Bassillard.
Oh, Bassillard. Dude, they're so cool.
I call it Bassillard.
Bassillard, Bassillard. It doesn't matter. Kotobukiya is also
it's
a really
in
cool.
the shop.
Yeah,
there's
like
two shelves.
There's one
shells.
That I've got that I'm eyeballing right now. That
oh, dude. Just buy it. They're so cool.
The Herzfilger.
I cannot pronounce the names for the life of me, but
so
there's one that's like white and purple
aware.
And gold.
My official assessment of those Kotobukiya kits is that they're a bit more challenging than the Bandai kits.
Well,
it takes a little bit more effort to make the kit look good whenever it's done. However, it's nice to have some different designs. I love Gunpla, and I love Gundam and Bandai and everything that they've done. I love having a little bit of variation with the Kotobukiya kits. There's no overlap there between those two genres. As far as I'm aware, those are two totally different things, and I like having access to both of them through Hangar 18. So special thanks for Hangar 18 Hobbies for making that happen.
Shout out to Brian, Joe, Steve. I think that's all the people that work there.
Brian, Joe, Steve, all of three people who MechaGenre has officially communicated with and haven't stabbed me in the face. Hey! Thanks, guys.
And of course, the obvious sponsor, Holy Mountain Printing. Mm-hmm. You can get Hangar 18 shirts, you can get Gunpla Builder Associate shirts, and you can
get some
awesome stuff on there, some true Gunpla stuff for my line, and there'll be a bunch of new stuff coming out. We've got some weird theme stuff that you guys have asked for. If you guys are into Japanese samurai rope tying,
did you finally make
Shibari?
yeah, it's actually a shirt in the works with that.
Dude.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's
so,
oddly specific. And
of course,
what?
Bailey?
But I mean, and that's another thing too with Holy Mountain Printing is that we're to start doing some of the major, larger events just due to space. And of course, at those events, you can get kits from Hangar 18 there. Joe will be vending, or whoever's from the store will be vending at these events. So probably it's one of those things where, yeah, probably Joe.
Dude, Joe is super nice. Please ask him every question that comes to your mind.
Absolutely. In rapid succession. He loves it.
It's one of those things where, you know, we're able to provide a space that we can do these larger events and still drive, you know, business to two different local businesses that, you know, in the area. So
support,
if you ever
go
online, yeah, if support your local, if you're ever, you know, online, holymountainprinting.com. If you're ever in Raleigh, shoot me a message. We'll give you a little tour of the art gallery space and check out some shirts. And of course, you know, a couple other sponsors that are, you know, always part of our communities. One of them is the Gunville Builder Association. A new one that I do want to announce, which is pretty awesome.
You're announcing this to us as well.
As well, yeah.
We're reacting in real time.
Is Secret Weapon Miniatures.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
One of our wonderful GBA members. Yep. She's
But that's relevant to my interests. I paint miniatures.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I think she's either
try out those paints.
Co-owner or works for the company. She's a very big part of the company. But they're getting behind the podcast and everything that we do here. So check them out. I believe it's at secretweaponminiatures.com. Now you're thinking, like, why is a miniature company into scale modeling?
Because scale models are
a paint line.
They got a mecha paint line coming out. And a lot of their miniature materials can be used for any type of scale model. It's military to giant robots. So go ahead and check them out. I think you guys will all appreciate it. And so, yeah, this is the Cutting Mat Podcast. Hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. Make sure you almost had a bonus episode
again.
There, boys.
Guys, Joel is dead. I'm going to have to sign off.
You guys don't know how many times Joel has died and resurrected.
We're going to need
during
like
our podcast
a Joel-owned counter.
Well, R.I.P. Joel. True Gunpla. Hashtag.
I think
True
Gunpla.
Also, hashtag, hey, this is Joel. Hashtag, hi, Joel. Hashtag, what's going on, Joel? Hashtag,
what's
Joel,
up?
Hashtag, Joel is dead.
Tino, you're a sign-off boy.
You're putting
I'm a sign-off boy?
Yeah,
that's been dedicated.
Okay.
Do it.
All right, cool.
Do it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Cutting Mat Podcast. I am Tino, also known as Big V Roman, all over the internet. Diagonally to my left is...
Bailey, also Kamau Zeta, everywhere on Instagram, and that's it. And to my left is...
This is Brandon, Mecha Genre, MechaGenre.com, Restrictions by Results Mayberry.
What? And then, I'm so flat. What'd you say? Purchase may vary.
Forgive Joel. He just came back to life.
I just came back to life.
No
what's
purchase
going on,
necessary.
Boys?
Contact Mecha Genre for official rules entry form.
Rules and entries? Okay. Well, I'm Joel, otherwise known as True Gunpla Online. Hope you guys have a good one. Enjoy the episode. Make sure to give us a rating on iTunes. That really actually does help us out a lot. And enjoy the hobby for yourself.
Enjoy the hobby for yourself. Seriously, don't ask Joe all those questions that I told you to ask.
He'll get
don't.
Kind of upset.
Oh, no, yeah,
definitely. Don't. Definitely should have just left it.